CCS. Oh, item four, there we go. Okay, we're good. Okay. I'd like to call to order the city council meeting. All right. And I think we're going to have to wing it a little bit. So this is Tyler Mock, is that right? And I'll tell you about Tyler while Mrs. Petker tells us, gets him organized. So Tyler is 8 years old. He's a third grade student at Fairgrove Elementary School. His favorite subject at school is math, especially geometry and fractions. And he likes living on the Central Coast because of the beach and the ocean. And he also likes birds and nature. Tyler would like to study science in high school or college. His hobbies are watching television and playing video games. And Tyler's accompanied this evening by his principal, Laura Storm. Is she here? Okay. I think I saw his mom, though. Thank you, Mom, for getting him here. And Tyler, thank you for being so brave and coming when you were sick. That's really good. So let's go ahead. And do you want to lead us in the flag salute, Tyler? Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And Mom, if you want to come up and take pictures, you're welcome to come on over. Come on up here, Tyler, and you stand up here next to me. Left hands up.
Attaboy. Thank you very much.
Thanks for helping us tonight. I hope you feel better. Could we have the roll call, please?
Here.
Here.
Here. And I believe now we're going to do an agenda review because we are short a few folks, and we may make some changes tonight.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. Staff would request that item number six be pulled from the agenda. This is an item where
only really three of us are missing. City manager is missing, and Council member Mayor Pro Tem Bright, and also our newest council member. And so, unless someone disagrees with me, I think it would be better to postpone that for 2 weeks as well, when we have everybody here to work on it.
I concur. I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Do we need a motion for either of those things?
Just a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second and a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That was unanimous. So on our ceremonial calendar, this was one I've been wanting to do for a very long time. And I think I sometimes ask the city manager to read it, but I want to read this one. and the reason I wanted to give Jim Gehring a mayor's commendation is because every time I've been to a planning commission meeting or a council meeting for 7 or 8 years, he has always been the voice of reason. And he's the only person I've met who can take a really complex, very complex situation and break it down and make it simple, make it understandable. And he seems to do it every single time and make sense of it. And not only that, but he's been here since the 60s. And I won't say he knows where the skeletons are buried, but he sure knows where all the pipes are, which is very helpful. So I'm going to go ahead and read that. Because there's too much, he's done too many things in his lifetime for me to not read it. I couldn't remember them all. And we initiated this to recognize residents and citizens who've substantially contributed time and resources to the city. And tonight it's Jim Gehring of Gehring Taylor and Associates, is that right? And he's been a longtime community member, he's been a business owner, and he's provided engineering services to the city of Grover Beach for almost 50 years and for 31 years as the city engineer. And I believe your wife Kathy's here too, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Oh, I'm glad to meet Kathy. Great. Mr. Guerin graduated from San Luis Obispo High School in June 1962. His first full-time job was with Dick Hickenbottom, working as a soils laboratory technician. Dick was city engineer of Grover City from 1960 to 1962. The city then appointed Sam Taylor as city engineer. Mr. Guerin continued his education at Cal Poly State University while working part-time for Mr. Hickenbottom and the firm Guerin Taylor & Associates. He graduated in June 1967. Upon graduation, he was commissioned a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. Now, this is the one that really amazes me. His remarkable military service spanned from 1960. Under the direction of Sam Taylor, the master drainage study was adopted by the city in January 1976. And upon Mr. Taylor's retirement with the city, Mr. Guerin was appointed as the city engineer on December 7th, 1981. Interesting. Mr. Guerin stated, "I am most proud of the master drainage study developed 38 years ago and the fact that the city has implemented it over time as funding has become available." When the firm Guerin Taylor & Associates became city engineer in 1960, most of the streets in town were sand. It says dirt here, but I think they were, from what I've heard, they were sand. Grand Avenue was a two-lane street with eucalyptus trees lining both sides of the narrow road almost all the way to the ocean. As funding became available, Mr. Guerin worked on virtually every street in the city over the last 40 years, designing, reconstruction, curbs, gutters, and sidewalks. Mr. Guerin has also been on the Zone 3 Advisory Council since 1983, when he was appointed alternate delegate to CSA 12 by the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors. The Zone 3 Advisory Council has representatives from the cities of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, Oceano Community Services District, County Service Area 12, which extends to Port San Luis Harbor District, the agricultural community, and lastly, a delegate at large. In 1995, Mr. Guerin was appointed delegate at large by the Board of Supervisors. The Zone 3 Advisory Council advises the Board of Supervisors regarding operation and maintenance of the Lopez Dam water project, including the dam transmission pipelines and the water treatment plant. Other memorable Grover Beach projects in Mr. Guerin's lengthy resume include the Manhattan Avenue storm drain system, the 1978 Grover City Water Project, which included well number 4, reservoir number 1, and the water transmission main, relocation of the city maintenance yard from North 16th Street and Saratoga Avenue to the current location on Farrell Road, upper water pressure zone booster station and standby power unit on North 16th Street and north of Saratoga Avenue, acquisition and construction of the Mentone drainage basin, construction of the Mentone storm drain system, reservoir number 2, reservoir number 3, reconstruction of all city sewer lift stations 1981 to 1995, reconstruction of the nitrate removal water plant on South 16th Street in Mentone, reservoir number 1 reconstruction and seismic retrofit, construction of the beginning of the West Grand Avenue storm drain system, and finally, construction of the South Grover Beach sewer trunk main system, eliminating the need for 3 existing.
Well, members of the council and mayor, thank you very much for this honor and recognition. It's very, very much appreciated on my part. But I wanted to tell you that it's really been my pleasure to be of service to the city for the last 40 years. And if I'm able to in the future and I'm needed in the future, I'll be very happy to continue that service. One of my major projects over the last year and over the continuing time that I'm available is to make sure that historical knowledge that's important to the city and should not be lost, and make sure that I'm transferring that to Mr. Greg Ray, who is your full-time city engineer and public works director. And I very much appreciate him, and I'm very happy to be working with him on that particular project. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. And I might add that Mr. Guerin has been doing some writing of late, too, and I got to read one of his stories, and it was about his wife, Kathy, and how they met, and it was a really nice, nice story. So, Kathy, I'm glad now to meet you in person. So we will now move to Public Communications, and I want to give you a little explanation of how this all works at our meetings. All of us have access to all this information, usually about Thursday of the week. We all get it at the same time. It's available online, and then we all have an opportunity to do our homework and do our research, ask some questions, get up to speed on it. And then when we come here, the first thing we do is we open for public comment so that anybody can come and speak about anything that the City Council has jurisdiction over. And after that, we move to public communications, which is where we're headed next. And public communications, it's the same thing again. We will open for public comment, and you can speak for 3 minutes on this specific topic. And I do have one speaker request form. They're not necessary. They're not required. But they're helpful because then our city clerk can spell your name right when she puts it in the record. And the way we do the sessions, the public sessions, the public hearings, is that first we'll hear a report from staff, and then the city council has an opportunity to ask staff questions. Then we'll open it up to the public, and then we'll bring it back here. And after we've heard from you and we've heard from the staff, and
This Saturday, our chapter, along with the Cal Poly Surf Rider Club and the Rigetti High Surf Club, came out and did a storm drain stenciling project for the city. And Kathy Pecker John Barkley from the city helped to get all the pieces in place so that the group could come out. We had about 13 volunteers from the Cal Poly chapter and about 10 from the Rigetti Surf Club. And I was kind of captain of the whole stenciling program. Put some of the other pieces in place, California Fine Wire and their Precision Metal Component Shop designed the stencil that we used custom for the city. And so we punched out about 7 or 8 paper stencils and then went about stenciling about 26 storm drains. And and then we noticed some others along the way that we'll be working with later to get done also on that side of Grand. So on the beach side of Grand, or towards the beach on Grand, we'll be doing that later. Glad to help the city. Glad to work with the College Club and also with Rigetti High. It's a big kick to go out and spend a few hours with a group doing something positive in the community, and also kind of highlighting the importance of clean water and protecting what goes into the storm drains and then directly into the ocean. So anyway, I want to thank Kathy and John for their work, and it was really a pleasure to work with them on this.
Thank you. Don't go away yet. I have a question. So what do the stencils say, and can you tell us where we'll find them and what they look like?
You'll find them on Mentone Avenue. Mm-hmm. There were 13, I think, done on
thanks
Mentone.
Thanks to Mr. Gehring, maybe.
Okay. A few of them on 4th, just up a couple blocks from Grand, and west of 6th on Grand all the way to Highway 1.
That's great.
And I also wanted to ask if maybe I could get the clubs in here some Monday night for a photo op with the council when everybody's feeling better.
I'm sure we can do something about that.
It wasn't about me. It was about what can we do to help some of these struggling businesses that are trying real hard out there to make it go. And if they're successful, we're all going to be successful. So the next meeting will be on March 26th at Little Bit Cafe, just off of 6th there. And I'd love to see some of the council, anybody else. This isn't a taking away from anybody. This is working with our city, which that's exactly what I'm looking for, something that I can go to that I know that they're going to want to have the city involved with it, and we're going to go forward and perhaps have a few ideas what we can do to make it look a little nicer on Grand Avenue without so much expense. And also help those that are really struggling, because it seems like we're getting a lot of businesses, but they're going away in a few months. And I've been here a long time, and I'm not going away, and I want to keep other people from going away so that we can get those tourists and those regular people coming to our doors. So wanted to invite anybody and everybody who's interested in it and stuff. So thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Linda, what was the time of that meeting?
That will be at 5:30, March 26th, and it's the Little Bit Cafe. And like I said, it was extremely informative. One of the gals that has one of the networks was running it the other night, and I was very impressed with how she handled it. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward?
Donna White's on Grover Eats. I don't think she'll have a hard time. I think she knows who I am. Last week, there was two ladies crossing Oak Park at Brighton. I've talked about that for, 2 years or 2 months? And so they were going across, the downhill traffic wasn't stopping. So I pulled out. I'm going to get hit before that. I was a meat cutter. Blood doesn't bother me, but human being blood does bother me. And so I didn't get hit. They didn't get hit. But that happens quite often. I compare here to Guadalupe because I'm through there 2 or 3 times a week for fuel and something to eat because I got a business out there. And here it is, 20 to 30 18-wheelers going through there, loaded and unloaded. At the entrance, Guadalupe is a stop sign with yellow flashing lights. We can't afford that. We're poor. And then you're going down, there's a crosswalk. Me can't get across. Those people won't let them cross. All that is revenue. I told Mike, I said, my God, you know, you're losing business. But you don't need revenue. You got plenty. That's all right. Go down to Bonds, handicap. I use that a lot because I use the drugs in there. That's what makes me dopey. But there's no handicap parking on the east side. And I've talked to people going to Albertson, even Bonds, Santa Maria, to get the drugs because they have parking. Down there, there's nothing. And so, next meeting, I want on their agenda, water meters. December 4th, a man came, read my meter. Not out in the street, because that don't work. It's junk. Doesn't work. But he went, and I saved myself $35 December. Read. February 4th, came back. Couldn't read the meter on the street. Junk. I was in Tulare Farm Show February. My son took me over. We went through the whole thing, but missed a lot. But I did go into 3 water businesses, and 2 men over in their 30s, years of experience, said that Grover Beach water meters, and that is junk, because they've had problems all over the United States with that French product that's being sold. So if I'm overcharged, and I know I was, how many others? So if you're the 1,000 people out there that's overcharged $30, that's $30,000, is that right?
Can you wind up, Mr. Weissong? Thank you very much.
And, save money. Are you really in Moore Park? Are we paying him travel pay?
I'm going to have to ask you to wind up.
I'd like to know that.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. Bring it back to the council, and the consent agenda is next, and these are routine items that are scheduled for consideration as a group. Are there any changes to the consent agenda? Anybody want anything pulled here?
Don't want anything pulled. I would like to make a comment, though. I wanted people to notice the item... It's 4285 on page, I don't see a page number on it. First page that we have because of those lights and the reconstruction that we've done down there. So I just thought it was important to recognize that.
Thank you, Councilmember Nichols. And I live right down there, and I can tell you they're much, much nicer now. They look great. So thanks for that hard work. So do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'll move that we accept the consent agenda as published.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. We'll move now to regular business. And this is item number four. We do have one speaker here, but anybody can come forward when we get to that stage of this. It's a discussion of request to increase the number of card tables, increase hours of operation, and remove hard liquor sales requirement by Central Coast Casino. And I think that's going to be delivered by City Attorney Kazanowicz and Police Chief Copsey.
And I will defer to the city manager.
It will be the chief then. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Members of the council. The owner of the Central Coast Casino submitted a letter requesting consideration of additional card tables for his establishment down near the corner of 4th Street and Grand. The request also included an increase of hours of operation to be operated, allowing the casino to operate 24 hours a day. It also requested removal of the requirement that the casino be operated in a location with a license to serve hard liquor, so hard alcohol. It has an ABC condition in the municipal code regarding the card table operations in City of Grover Beach. These changes, if permitted under state law and if approved, will require an amendment to the Grover Beach Municipal Code. So should council move forward with any recommendations, staff would have to return for any changes that would need to be made to the municipal code. Currently, the municipal code allows for 7 card tables within the city limits. Also, only 4 of those tables can be held by one owner. So there's 7 tables in all, 4 by one owner. Currently, Central Coast Casino has 4 of those tables. And a second casino up near AJ Spurs pays for 2 of the tables. They don't currently have a gaming commission license to operate a legal casino, so they're just training tables or they just aren't open for business. The 7th table is not occupied. The city is allowed to increase our tables from 7 to 9 if council so chose to do that. To amend that in the ordinance. The current laws do not require that casinos have alcohol permits or have anything to do with ABC. That is strictly a requirement from our city council, from our ordinance. And I think that I'll give you off of the staff report because a question came up. The police department has not had any significant issues with the casino at this point with the 4 tables. Mr. Stearns has been very cooperative, meeting his needs of the safety plans. I don't know if there's going to be any problems in the future with an increase in tables at one establishment, but don't expect so if it's currently operated the way it is now. With that, the council has several alternatives to consider. They can consider a code amendment that would allow the casino to obtain additional licenses for 1 card table. Instead of the 4 that is authorized now by the ordinance, they could move that to 5, allowing him 1 card table instead of the 2 requested. They would not have to at that point increase from 7 to 9. The council could consider a code amendment to increase the total number of tables allowed in the city from 7 to 9 and authorize at that point 1 owner from going from 4 of the maximum tables to 6. The council could consider a code amendment to remove restrictions to the operation of the card tables, business premises regarding the alcohol licensing, and as far as the hours, they could authorize an amendment or bring back an amendment for authorization of 24-hour operation of that service. Some cities, I think, have maintained an alcohol permit requirement but allowed the casino to operate after 2 o'clock. That's really the hour difference. You can't serve alcohol after 2 o'clock, so you have to shut down and serve between 2 and 6 without alcohol but continue to operate the casino. That could be one of the amendments. So there are several options the council consider regarding this, or the council could consider making no changes and maintaining the current process. So it should be noted, too, that if I understand...
For you today is simply a discussion and a direction to staff to return with a proposed amendment or not. It's not your function here today to shape the verbiage of the ordinance or be very, very detailed about it, but simply provide us with direction as to what you would like to see as a proposed ordinance coming your way.
Thank you. So, questions? Councilmember Lee?
Do you have one? If you could expand upon the license, or not the licensing, but the liquor license coordination?
Many years ago, before my time, it was placed, added to the ordinance, which requires any gaming casino in the city of Grover Beach to have an ABC license affiliated with it, where the requirement of that ABC license, it's a type, I want to say 41, which is a requirement of hard liquor, alcohol, wine, whatever. Basically, you can serve alcohol beverages at that establishment. So that is currently one of the requirements for having a gaming commission, a gaming facility in town.
Okay. Any questions, Councilmember Nichols?
Questions of staff, no.
Okay. Do you have questions of the applicant?
Maybe.
Okay. All right. All righty. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So I do have some questions. Is this something that if we wanted to, we could send it out to the Planning Commission for them to take a look at it?
I think to the extent, that is certainly within your purview at any point in time. But generally speaking, this is a not a land use ordinance. It is more of a control, taxing, if you will, permitting ordinance. And that, generally speaking, falls strictly within the purview of the City Council. You obviously have the ability to send it to the Planning Commission if you want to get their take, for lack of a better word, on it. But it is not a land use issue. It is not generally something that the Planning Commission would consider.
So my thinking on that was that in some ways it's a consideration of if it would be required for the proprietor to expand in order to be able to do this, it means that we have we're making a choice to have a casino on that corner. And I'd like to hear what the Planning Commission thinks about those.
It would be a very theoretical discussion with the Planning Commission, but we could undertake that if that is the wish of the council.
Thank you. So the license, the ABC license and the gaming license, those are portable. They go with the owner as opposed to with the property.
Yes. The gaming license that comes from the Gaming Commission is Mr. Stern's, and he can move that anywhere within the city as long as the city allows that to be in that location. As far as the ABC license, that is not currently owned by Mr. Stern's. It is owned through Mongo's. So if he was to move, he would have to move to somewhere that had the ABC license, or he would have to obtain an ABC license or have an amendment in the ordinance for that, unless he partnered with somebody else or partnered with Mongo's or whatever the process that he chose to move forward with.
Okay. And so what we're being asked to do tonight then is to... Can you tell me that again, exactly what it is we're being asked to do tonight?
Basically, the applicant has submitted a letter requesting two additional tables and is requesting to remove the alcohol license from the ordinance so you can operate without any restrictions regarding the alcohol use, and also to extend the hours of operation. So the council, that's what's been submitted and requested from the applicant. The council has many options that they can go with, whether they choose to add additional tables to the ordinance, whether they choose not to, or how any fashion of that, as was discussed.
So one other question then, on if we remove the alcohol requirement, is that removing the requirement, or is that then making it so that he can't serve alcohol?
It would be removing the requirement to serve alcohol. It doesn't mean that he can't. He can still serve alcohol and do whatever he needs mm-hmm. to do to run the business, but it's not a requirement for operating of the gaming facilities, and that would apply to all gaming facilities.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, in that case then, I'm going to open this to the public, and Steve Gonzalez has asked if he could come forward and speak.
Good evening. Steve Gonzalez, 1648 Baden Avenue. I'm here, standing here before you to speak on the kind of person Mr. Stearns is with regards to his generosity to the city. As a firefighter and in many of adjoining city firefighters around the area, he's always been incredibly generous to the firefighters with regards to fundraising events for local firefighters that have been stricken with cancer. Probably for the last 15 years, I've always gone to Mr. Stearns, and always he's been very generous to open the doors, to have card gaming fundraisers at his facility and in other facilities throughout the county. I think it's important that, Ms. Mayor, that you do know that, and City Council knows that, and you recommend these positive changes that he makes. He's still going to run the facility in a very clean and safe and upscale the way he runs it now. And I hope you consider these changes that he makes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Was there anyone else who wanted to come forward?
Sharon Brown, 123 Lynn Street. I'm not sure I still understand this. I've read through it several times at home. I've listened to you. And Mr. Stearns is asking for an expansion of the number of tables, but currently does not have the facility for that addition. And there's no room on the site to add to. So what are we talking here?
I'll go ahead and collect all your questions and we'll answer them at the end.
That's one. The other was on the expansion of the hours. I think we need to look at the impact on the neighborhood of lighting and any of the other things, but I'm wondering why the expansion of the hours. And let's see what else. I didn't bring my notes up, but anyway, for that whole development area from the beach to east of 4th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else like to come forward on that? What about the applicant? Did the applicant want to come forward? Yeah.
Hello. I'm David Stearns, and I'm the applicant, the owner of Central Coast Casino. And I guess to clarify some things that along with the you asked the question about the liquor license. Does that mean I would not be allowed to do it? And I think the chief explained that it'd be more of an option to have it or not. That's also the case with the 24 hours. I have no intention at this point to go 24 hours, and frankly, I don't have the demand to do it. But I'm the only card room in the county out of 5 that has that restriction. So we have 4 other card rooms in the county that are 24 hours, or at least they're allowed to go 24 hours. And once in a while they do have a game. But at least I want to compete on the level playing field. And, the truth of the matter is that the table expansion I'm requesting tonight, as far as what it does to change the face of the area or to turn it into a something different than what it is today, that the only difference would be the fundraising events we do and the tournaments we do on a weekly basis. That and frankly, the tournaments we have are things that we don't make money at. We offer the tournaments to get the people in. So that's the only things we've used more than three tables, even in all through 2012. But because of the change in the state regulations, I think in 2010, that they're offering that and hoping for a better future, I want to go for it while I have that chance. And the, while we're here, the liquor requirement, it just seems like, to, you know, with my history, I've been here 15 years. I'm virtually trouble-free. I don't even believe we've had a phone call to the police, and I've been cooperative with you guys as well as the state to try to be as safe as possible. As far as there's nothing that says the tables have to be 8, 9, or 10 players. So there's even, you know, a game that I'm approved for that only has four players, and if that were the case, 4 times 6 would be 24. So there's more at play than numbers of bodies and so forth. It just gives me the option to do more. And I've been, as the firefighter mentioned, you know, I've been doing this a lot. I've had, I'm not a fly-by-night guy. I started in 1998. I raised $2,000 for the Stone Street Music Festival or whatever that was, my first thing, and I didn't get my tables and keep it for myself. I've been doing that for 15 years. So anyway, that's, I think, in a nutshell. If there's any questions or clarifications, and on I've got Bob Lytle here as my consultant. That he's a former director of the Bureau of Gambling Control that maybe can clarify any kind of legal questions, which certainly isn't my expertise.
Thank you. You did a good job of pulling that together in 3 minutes almost. But we're giving you a little bit more so that we can ask you some questions as well. Councilmember Nichols.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you very much for coming this evening. One question I have is, if you do not have room now for expansion, unless, as I understood you to say, you have a patio, that you might enclose or something that would suffice as additional space to add a table?
Yes, I have a patio that my plain space now, I believe, is approximately 800 square feet, and I think I've got 1,500 to 2,000 square feet of a patio that would need remodeling if I were to do that. But like I was saying, if right now my tables are 8 to 10 players, and there are games that we play that are only 4 players. So if I were granted a license for, you know, either whatever my license says on the gambling certificate, I have to abide by the requirements of the planning for the number of people allowed in the space and so forth. And
are you talking about the patio area that is adjacent to the parking lot that faces Grand Avenue?
No.
What patio area are you talking about?
If you know where my sign is, it's behind the sign. So behind that sign is a very large patio that's all in my lease. And it would be...
There are two tables that have been issued, I guess, to somebody else that have never been used. If we were to decide to allow him two additional tables, where would that second table come from? And I'm just not sure we could even do that if we wanted to. Do you have an answer to that? Have you looked into that?
I believe so. And I think to clarify what the chief said earlier, I believe that I'm right, that the first part of the proposal is going from a total of 7 to 9, and the Bureau said that's okay if you guys say it's okay. So if they go from 7 to 9, then the person that has the two tables that's not operating, there'd still be 7, actually, and I could have 6, and there'd be 1 extra.
Okay, so this all hinges on whether or not we go from 7 to 9 as to whether or not you get two tables.
I guess I can't answer that because I don't know the validity of the other two tables. That's not really
let, let us let counsel chime in if you have an answer, counsel.
Well, couple of things. Yeah, the original request is for 9 tables, and if that is the direction that the ordinance moves forward, then there will be tables available. Okay. One of the things that I wanted to clarify also, it's a multi-step process. What the applicant is requesting is an amendment to the ordinance. Even if the council moves forward with an amendment to the ordinance, application for the tables that would be available or for the increase of tables for a single owner is still a whole separate process. Mm-hmm. So only because the number of tables to be had by a single proprietor or the number of tables that are allowed within the city is increased, that is not an automatic grant of those tables to anybody. There is a whole separate process through which each applicant has to move through. But I think Mr. Stearns has in mind an increase of 2 tables in order that he can receive 2 more tables for his establishment without affecting any other of the tables that are available. As Chief identified, there's currently 1 table that is available within the city, within the 7 that is permitted under the current ordinance. So one of the options that was outlined is that without increasing the number of tables, in the city, the council could direct, for lack of a better word, until and unless he receives an authority to run a gaming establishment from the state, he cannot open a casino.
Okay. I think that's all I have right at the moment.
Councilmember Lee.
I do have a couple questions. Thank you for joining us this evening and being available for questions. So as I'm understanding it, so you've got 4 tables, and your desire is to go to 6. Realizing we're kind of have a possibility of crafting something general, but we have a specific case in front of us. If you were to achieve your 6 tables, how often would you consider yourself utilizing that for either the fundraisers or the tournaments? I mean, is this something you would do on a 100% basis, or 50%, or 6 events a year? What, can you estimate that?
I'd estimate the big fundraisers that would use 6 tables twice a year. And that would typically, they've always been daytime. So they're not like, and I think, I believe maybe that the chief can confirm this, that like when the poker room is going and the rest of the stuff is not, it turns into a very quiet place. They're not people that are getting rowdy and going crazy. It's not like a lot of trouble late at night at the card room. And and also I believe that you know, there is that option. They laid out many different ways we can go, but the option, if we go to 9, then I can have 2 more. I mean, if you approve that, and as it is now, there's 1 available, but there's nothing available to me because I already have 4, and currently that's all they can do. As far as the what we call live game, which is with real money and so forth, you know, I can honestly tell you that 2012, we never had 4. We never had 4 live games there since 2008. Things have been going down. I used to have 4 Friday night, but we haven't had it for a full year. I'm banking on the future, and I'm hoping that things turn around and get better. But the other tournaments, they're weekly, you know. But as far as getting right now, we rarely get 4. Mm-hmm. Actually, I would say. One time every 6 weeks at 2 months, we'd have a 4 table tournament at this.
So where is the draw to go from 2 to 6? Is that basically to potentially continue games that are in process? Is it the desire to finish out the games, or is it basically an opportunity to change your business model to have the 24 hours?
It's actually to compete with the other card rooms.
Okay.
You know, and you know, I'm in your city, and mm-hmm. I'm a good guy, and I just want to compete with other card rooms. And there's many times at 2 o'clock when they go, you know, they pack up and they go down the street. You know, I mean, that's the truth. And a lot of times those card rooms will close at 6, 7, or 4 p.m. I used to own one in Paso Robles, and 24-hour available hours, and rarely, I mean, just not even twice a year we go 24 hours or even past two, you know, but I, you know, I don't see why I should be the one to be handicapped in that. And anyway, that's, I just want the level playing field.
Okay, great. Ed, one more question with regards to alcohol. Notwithstanding the fact that alcohol can't be sold after 2, is that correct, Chief? So if moving forward with your desire would be to not have the requirement for alcohol. So obviously you'd still have the option. You partner with Mongo's for your alcohol sales and your permit right now. Is that correct, or how does that work?
No. I'm not involved with any alcohol sales, but I have the I satisfy the requirement by having on they consider the same premises.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm not planning on going anywhere. I just renewed my lease maybe less than 2 months ago.
Okay.
But I just want the especially it would make it simpler with the other hours if you grant that. And I don't believe there's none in the whole state I know about that has a requirement for hard liquor on the premises for a card room. I don't know of any in the state. I don't know how Las Vegas does it, but they certainly have that option to have it, or lots of them do. But if there's any kind of ordinance with alcohol, it's usually no alcohol.
Okay. So if someone does want an alcoholic beverage while they're gaming, what do they do now?
Then they go get a drink, and they're allowed to bring it back.
To bring it back,
and
okay.
Insurance kind of goes back, and okay. We have double coverage for both Mongo's and myself.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to clarify that. So, okay, that's all I had for the moment. Thanks.
I had a. I think. Are we any other questions of the applicant?
One other question.
Sure.
Regarding the alcohol, one other question. Historically, there are card clubs. There are card clubs in the Los Angeles area. Perhaps maybe your consultant could answer that question, having possibly a little broader knowledge of whether it historically helps a facility to have alcohol available. Are there card clubs that do not have it available at all and are just as successful?
Bob Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E. I'm a consultant, gaming consultant. Address 3321 Marley Way. That's M-A-R-L-E-E Way, number 43 in Rockland, California. In answer to your question, sir, most card rooms do have alcohol on the premises, but they're not required to have alcohol on the premises. And I think that's what Mr. Stearns is trying to get away from, the requirement to have alcohol and be able to choose whether he wants it or not.
Yeah, and I understand that.
Right.
But do you have any?
I would say that it goes both ways. Most of the problems that you're going to end up with in a casino are alcohol-related. Most players don't drink a lot, especially the poker side. They don't drink a lot, but they like to have the ability to have a beer or a drink now and then. So if you have, it's kind of like smoking. If you have a casino that has smoking and you're a smoker, you're going to go to the casino that has smoking. If you want to have a drink, you'll go to the casino that has a drink.
There are a lot of casinos, card clubs that survive without alcohol.
I think that they could, depending on their location. If they have competition down the street that serves alcohol, then more than likely they're going to want to serve alcohol, too, just for a certain type of patronage.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
If I may, could I
sure.
say just a couple
yeah.
other things? First of all, I'd like to commend staff on your report. I had a chance to look at it, and a lot of times the moratorium can be rather confusing, but your staff did a real good job of deciphering it for you. The state has become very stingy with tables and with gaming. There is a moratorium in the state, so it's very seldom that they actually pass legislation that allows a small card room like the one here to add tables. And many times that legislation is only around for a little while, and then it's gone. So what I would urge is that you at least change your ordinance to allow for those tables, and then later down the road, to piggyback on your city attorney words, then at a later date you can decide whether or not you want to.
May sunset, or that may
that's correct.
Close in a month or 6 months or whenever they decide
it
to.
It could. What happens is usually they'll come up with another piece of legislation that may allow for another increase of some sort, but usually in that increase they take away that other ability. So those who were able to increase get to increase again. Those that didn't will only have the opportunity to increase for that particular legislation. So what this legislation does, and the reason that this happens is because the tribal casinos and the large casinos really, really like the monopoly that they have with this moratorium, because no one else can get a license. Nobody can add tables. So it's great. So what they do is now and then they throw out a little perk to the smaller guys and say, you know, we're going to get this extended another 5 years, but we will get some legislation passed that gives you a couple more tables. So that's kind of how it works. So every 5 years, the moratorium is extended. Whereas originally it was only brought about to give the regulatory body the time to get up and running. But now it just you just see it continually get extended.
Any more questions? No? Thank you very
Thank you.
Much.
Appreciate it.
Is there anyone else from the public who wants to come forward on this matter? Okay, seeing none, we'll close and bring it back to the council. And I do have another question. It looks like the city attorney has a comment as well. You go first.
I think just to make clear, this is not a short-term moratorium. This is not a short-term state law that was passed. In other words, there is no sunset. I think that was the question. I think what the gentleman was simply trying to advise you of is that while almost each ordinance or each legislation that's passed usually allows an additional increase because of the moratorium that's in place. So if you want to take advantage of this increase, you can, and then you'll get another chance to increase once the other one comes out. If you don't take advantage of this increase, when the law changes and another increase is put into place, you'll have an opportunity to increase then, but you will lose the opportunity that is before you now.
Thank
so
you.
So it at least by everything I've seen, it is unlikely that the next piece of legislation is not going to allow for another increase. And there is no, at this point in time, there is no timeline under which we're operating for this increase.
So suppose we did leave our or open the door to have other options. If we said we wanted to take advantage of that additional two tables that we could. Are we then, is it like zoning where the zoning says you can have something there, so therefore you must allow it? How is the decision made then if we have the extra tables available? How is the decision made and what are the restraints and requirements?
Well, currently the number of tables is governed by the ordinance. Casino in that location, they already have the ability to do that if the tables were increased. Should they move into another location, then the zoning issues may come into play depending on where they would want to relocate to or somebody else would relocate to. As far as the licensing for the number of cables, that's also in the ordinance, and there's a process, there's an application for that, whether Mr. Stearns applies or the other business applies for those additional tables, there's a process in place for that currently, and that will be have to look at depending on the applications and who would be interested, and if both people were interested in applying, then we would have to look at how that process is done.
And there is some discretion in the ordinance, and it's 10403. Upon a receipt of a positive affirmative report of the chief of police, council shall grant the card table license or licenses to the applicant if the city council determines the following: A, that the applicant and its members are in good moral character and otherwise qualified to carry on such a business on the terms of this chapter. B, that the carrying on the card table at the location proposed is in compliance with all applicable zoning and building ordinances and regulations of the city. C, that the issuance of the permit is not contrary to the public health, safety, and welfare. So those three findings would have to be made by the council. If they are made by the council, then there is no discretion in granting the table. But those are, especially the last one, are findings that are not automatic. In other words, there is the council would have to deliberate the evidence before it and make a decision as to each one of those.
Chief Copsey.
I think to note, in 2008, I think it was, when we did do the last code amendment to add additional tables from 5 to 7, we did not have a need to have a competitive process because the only applicant that applied for the additional tables was a Central Coast Casino.
Thank you. At which point would we consider whether there are enough restrooms, whether there's enough parking, whether the security is there? At which point does that come into play?
Well, I think that that is the one of the findings that needs to be made when the application is being before you. That is after the chief of police had the opportunity to investigate and provide you with a report. Finding B is that carrying on card table at location proposed is in compliance with all applicable zoning and building ordinances and regulations of the city. Zoning and planning entitlements would need to be approved and moved forward. But the differentiation is between the building and the use. In other words, the licenses allow you the use. The physical conditions on site are a purview of the building official and potentially the planning commission.
Thank you. Yeah, Chief Copsey.
In addition, the tables also need to be approved. Additional tables will need to be approved through the Gaming Commission, and they have different additional requirements that need to be met regarding those any additional changes to the facilities.
So just to sum up, then, if we go forward tonight with any of these issues, we're basically just opening the door. We're not saying opening the door for anybody. Not this particular.
If you direct the city staff to return to you with what would probably be a first reading of a ordinance that would be crafted to amend the current code. At that point in time, you have the ability to look at it, deliberate in full body, and either provide us with revisions. Abandon the direction or approve it as presented and move to the second reading. After the second reading, 30 days later, assuming that the second reading was successful, you would then have an amendment that's effective and the code would change.
Thank you.
And at that point in time, anyone, that again, this is not individualized to any one person, Mr. Stearns or anybody else, the code would simply change. And depending on your direction, to either say an operator can have five tables, total remaining the same, total tables in the city is 9, any operator may have still 5 or 6 or 7, depending on what direction you provide to staff. And those numbers can be adjusted at the first reading. I think what, at least from my seat, what I would be looking from you today is, first of all, do you have any interest in moving forward with any of these proposed changes, or are you satisfied with conditions on the ground as they are? Secondly, if you do wish to make any changes, in which areas? And then Chief and I will work on drafting amendments that reflect your direction.
Thank you. So, should we have some discussion, Councilmember
sure.
Nichols?
Love to have some discussion. First of all, I would like to comment to Mr. Stearns that I think you do run a very the mayor.
That sounds
agrees.
Good. Yeah.
I think first item that we could tackle would be the additional tables to allow him to go from 4 to 6. I see absolutely nothing wrong with it. We have a businessman that's been in this community for a long time, done a great job, has not presented a problem. I have never heard anybody criticize his operation. I've never heard anybody say, why don't you get rid of that business? Not at all. It's quite successful, both his operation and the adjacent operation seems to also be very profitable. I know if you go by there 10, 11 o'clock at night, sounds pretty good, so they must be having fun. Quite frankly, I would be in favor of recommending that staff bring back a resolution, an ordinance, a change to our ordinance in which we would allow Mr. Stearns to go from 4 to 6 tables.
Okay.
So the question...
As a point of clarification, we would be amending a code simply to allow any owner to operate up to 6 tables.
Correct.
Right.
Not Mr. Stearns necessarily, but any. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Councilmember Lee.
And so would that then piggyback that we would then need to change the ordinance to increase to 9?
No, you would not necessarily.
Okay.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with having an ordinance that says you can have six tables if and when they become available.
Okay.
If you wish to increase the number of tables, you can up to nine, so you could go from seven to eight or to nine. That's again, depending on what direction you wish to move forward.
And maybe well, that becomes...
But that goes back to if we don't have the authority to allow nine tables, then we can't really give him two more tables.
Well, and again, and with I wish not to personalize this simply because we need to keep everything. We certainly have the authority to amend the code to say any owner can have six tables in its establishment. If at this point in time we don't have additional tables available, then we don't. If that changes at some point in time, whether somebody abandons some licenses or goes out of business or whatever other happenstance, we'll make other tables available, ordinances in place, and somebody who has four can go up to six.
Okay. Or, all right. But it would seem to me smart to also change the ordinance to allow nine tables so that we don't have an exercise in futility if we have a person come forward with a request tables. And that we change the ordinance that allows us to apply the city to be able to issue licenses for nine tables.
Councilmember Lee. Yeah.
And actually, that's where I was kind of going as well. I'd be supportive of if we're going to change the ordinance once, let's include both components to it.
And I'm inclined to say since it's a business that's operating without problems, I'm inclined to say let's allow everybody to keep their options open. It's not a guaranteed approval of anything for anyone because there are other checks and balances. My one concern is if we do allow any individual business to have, if we have nine and we allow one business to have six, we get a little bit closer to having a monopoly, and sometimes that can be an issue. I don't think that's a huge consideration.
And maybe that raises a question as to if we had seven and we limited it to any one establishment having four, was that the reason for that, or was there a historical purpose as why it was four? And if we go to nine, should we then
never been able
discuss
to find
five?
Okay.
Did you?
Did
you want to question? Answer?
Yes.
Yes, please.
I think at the original amendment after the moratorium, which allowed up to 25% increase in from the current number of tables, the council decided to move from five to seven and from and up to four in each location.
So when we did go from five to seven, was there a limitation for maximum of three tables per establishment at that point, or was it any one person could have all five or four?
It went from, if I remember correctly, it went from three to four. For the maximum.
So traditionally it's been about kind of 50-50. One owner can have roughly half. Okay. Any thoughts on that?
No.
You're flexible? You're not worried about that?
No, okay. I'm not. Okay. I'm not.
I'm flexible with that as well. I mean, it's from the sounds of it, if we get someone who applies for then has three tables and we start to see a draw in the area, then perhaps we have another decision to make whether to go from nine to 11 tables or whatever it ends up being at that point. So that's a decision for a future date.
Okay. And in some ways the question of, well, I guess I'm wondering if you all are interested at all in going to the Planning Commission for their input on where we're going in Grover and whether we... Okay, it's not necessarily a planning issue.
But it would be... he would need to provide plans to either upgrade the patio, to enclose it, so there would be some administrative or ministerial action that would need to be taken by the city. Whether it then goes to the Planning Commission or not is dependent upon the code.
Okay.
I want to make sure that everybody's on the same page, because I may have said something that might have steered the conversation in the wrong direction. It is rather unlikely that this item would end up at any point in time in front of the Planning Commission. So I guess what you're looking at is the size of the establishment. If you allow six tables, it'll obviously be a larger establishment than under the current ordinance. And that increase, as identified by Councilmember Lee, may be simply ministerial once the ordinance is in place, assuming that all the building requirements are met, you're going to go to a larger establishment without having the Planning Commission necessarily or at all any participation in it.
Okay. Well, I guess we're ready for a motion then.
Well, let's...
We've got that third item.
Yeah, I think we should go through all three of them.
Okay.
Would be my recommendation. Mm-hmm. The second item that I had listed here is the removal of the alcohol requirement. I personally see nothing wrong with removing that. I think it's bad that he has a requirement that he must serve alcohol. I just don't buy that at all.
Okay, I think that was his request initially.
Yeah.
So, okay. Councilmember Lee?
I guess I'm flexible on this one. Mm-hmm. So there seems to be a desire, it's more like a business plan element here, where, and maybe staff can clarify this again. So is it a requirement, or is it an option, or is it, it's a condition of something to have alcohol sales?
Condition of something's good. It's actually a requirement per our ordinance. It's not a requirement from the Gaming Commission. It's not a requirement from ABC. And I don't think it's a request to remove the alcohol, just to remove the requirement out of the ordinance that an ABC license is required in order to be part of a gaming the casino. So he may still serve alcohol, he may not. That would then be his choice, rather than having to have an ABC license tied to the facility in order to continue operating the casino. So there's we do work with on alcohol establishments with the ABC, Alcohol Beverage Control, in order to try and help curtail some of those alcohol violations. And if they're, for example, if they're over-serving alcohol, too much alcohol, that type of thing, then we can address that through the ABC people with their assistance. They can actually suspend licenses and operations. But again, it's not a requirement at this point for him to even serve alcohol, just have the license affiliated with it. So, and based on in this establishment, the past practice, that's never been an issue. Should he sell it or somebody else come in and operate one, that might be a different story. But we haven't had any issues here.
It just doesn't make sense to me to have a requirement in our ordinance mm-hmm. that he must have alcohol available in order to operate a card club. That just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why it was put in there.
Which is kind of begs the question for me is why it was put in there, because I'm sure there's a lot of people smarter than me that made that decision way back when for some purpose, and I don't know what that purpose is.
And again, just to be clear, he's not required to serve alcohol. That is not the requirement of the code.
Of the code.
The but code simply requires that he has an association with a facility on site that has a ABC license. And again, maybe it was in recognition of that most clubs do serve alcohol. And if you have a requirement that is attached to his licensing, if the ABC conditions are being violated and that license, as Chief identified, is being disciplined or worked on, that also allows you to control what happens in the card room. I don't know. I wasn't here when this went into effect, but it appears to be just another level of being able to control the interior of the facility. It gives you another tool.
So I guess from that perspective, ultimately, it sounds like I'm leaning towards going away from that requirement. So if the establishment owner wants to have alcohol, he still has to have an ABC license or some other affiliation, which then gives the police an opportunity to use that tool. So I, from that perspective, kind of going through the steps of my brain, I think I'd be okay with removing that requirement.
Pismo, wherever, that operate 24 hours, I can see where that could affect his business. And as he indicated, he doesn't necessarily, in his perception, doesn't necessarily want to start operating 24 hours. That's not the purpose of it. But it allows him to be competitive if and when that comes to fruition. So I would be in favor of saying, yes, fine, go ahead.
And That generates another question for me. Is obviously, Chief, you've indicated that there hasn't been concerns, and you don't foresee any concerns with going to a 24-hour opportunity. What else is operated 24 hours within the city, and does that create another licensing requirement from the city standpoint? Apologize for wandering around in my brain there. The licensing requirement would that change his business license at all?
Not currently. And the only other operations are generally 24 hours are like 7-Eleven and some of the liquor stores, laundromats, that type of thing. But it would not change anything on this. It's just a matter of it was set in place, I think, from my knowledge, mainly because of the ABC licensing. You can't serve alcohol, so you can't operate. Hmm. I mean, you can't have ABC is no good after you can't serve alcohol after 2 o'clock. So that's really the restriction for the hours that were put in place in the code. And you actually could waive those hours in the code currently, but not because of the ABC license. The code already allows for a waiver of the hours, but not specifically because of the ABC licensing.
So if we were to proceed forward with removal of the alcohol requirement, there might not be a need to change the hours?
That kind of, it's still not, it's, it would be better to, if that's a direction of the council, to clean up that section of the code as well, to actually specifically, if that's a direction, to authorize the 24-hour operation. Okay.
Currently, the council has the ability to waive that requirement upon an application, so each time.
Okay, gotcha. And I have one, this is more of a global question. If we proceed forward, it sounds like we're moving forward to provide some direction to proceed with the code change. How many actions is this going to take, and do we have staff time available to do that? How long is the process going to take?
The process is, probably 60 to 90 days.
Gaming in the city. So if we're okay with that and it hasn't been an issue, then I can support that. Did you want to go ahead with a motion?
I don't think we require a motion. We have consensus.
It's just direction
at this point in time, the council is interested in seeing a draft ordinance that would change the number of allowable tables in the city from 7 to 9. Each establishment can have up to 6 tables. We were to eliminate the requirement for the ABC license and allow 24-hour operation as necessary. One of the other areas that staff will mention in the staff report, and with your direction, we will look at, and that is making some adjustments to the licensing fees that are applicable to this operation.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Well put. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
With your indulgence, I do have one question, and this may relate to Mr. Stearns or anyone else. So currently, we've got 7 licenses or 7 tables. So let's say Mr. Stearns or another casino wanted to have a special event fundraiser. Is there an option to have a special permit or a use permit in place at the moment so that he can have that opportunity or someone else can have that opportunity for such an event?
No.
Okay.
Simple answer. There's too many processes to go through the Gaming Commission and the facilities, and it's got to be with what's already been authorized in place to facilitate any kind of event.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So moving along to the next regular business item, number 5, discussion regarding the interpretation of Grover Beach Municipal Code, Chapter 12, Section 3993, regarding fireworks stand permits. And I think it's our Chief Copsey, Acting City Manager.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. In 2005, the City Council amended the Grover Beach Municipal Code, Chapter 12, regarding permitting and operation of fireworks stands, fireworks booths, within the city of Grover Beach. And at that time, they authorized two by name outfits that had first right of refusal for those fireworks worth. The first one was the Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce. The second was the Grover Beach Police Officers and the Grover Beach Firefighters Association. At the last year and up until this year, Both of those organizations have continued with operation of the fireworks booth. The Chamber of Commerce still relies on those funds, or they want to rely on those funds in the future, raised from operating the fireworks stand. They still have plans in meeting and talking with the President and CEO, Judith Bean, regarding the funds. They will come back or plan to come back into Grover Beach as before for different events, special events such as Stone Soup and whatnot. The Chamber is committed to continuing with having those funds come back into Grover Beach. At this time, the staff is recommending the Council review the ordinance that's been presented and the wording and make an interpretation regarding that wording because you can, more so than staff can, so that the naming of that, the Royal Grandy and the Grover Beach Chamber still can continue with first right of refusal for the fireworks booth. That's what staff is recommending, that they consider that interpretation and provide direction to staff. It should also be noted that council gave direction to staff to actually fire authority to work with staff to come back to council in this year, not time specific, with some additional amendments to the fireworks code ordinance, and staff can maybe make minor changes then if council so chooses, but for the time being we would like an interpretation on whether the Royal Grandy and Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce can continue operating a fireworks stand as a first right of refusal. And Judith Bean is in the audience if you have any questions or if she would like to make any comments.
Okay. Well, we'll go for questions here, I guess, and then open it for public comment. Councilmember Lee, you had questions?
Just one question. It the obviously the name interpretation is one, and then there was the second, and I forget specifically where I read that, but where part of it was because there's a business is located within the city limits, and so that would be the second interpretation or a part of that interpretation, that because they provide services to the city, we could consider them within the city?
My understanding, and I actually haven't discussed this with the city attorney, but because they already are chosen as an organization that has first right of refusal, the section that applies to operating or being in the city of Grover Beach doesn't apply. So it's just really the interpretation of the name because they've been given the first right of refusal for that.
So we couldn't even force them to get a P.O. box in Grover Beach?
Sure you can.
That any nonprofit or other agency that holds this permit has a principal and permanent meeting place in the city of Grover Beach. And that amendment resulted from historically having nonprofits come in and apply or try to get a place in the lottery that were not necessarily didn't have a situs in the city, and consequently there was a serious question as to whether or not the money that was being raised in the city would be used in the city. So that is where it's coming from. It is an ambiguity that the council is actually the only staff doesn't have the authority to interpret. It's an ambiguity that was created by the fact that the chambers were merged. The language of the code is what it is. It says that Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce is the entity that that can get the permit, and it does require a residency. You do have the ability to make a interpretation for this year of the ambiguity. I think that if it is, as recommended by the chief, if it is your direction and finding that they are eligible to receive as a matter of right a permit this year, I would recommend that among the changes that are being made to the ordinance that that change is made as a permanent change. And perhaps with some recognition to the fact that they don't have a principal place of business in Grover Beach.
So
if that is the direction that you wish to head.
Let me raise another question on that then. The Five Cities Fire Authority has a fire station here, but it is not their principal fire station. So they're also out of compliance at this point.
We do not have a Grover Beach Fire Association. It is operated by the Grover Beach Police Officers Association.
Oh, okay.
And they do have a
Yes, you do, thankfully. Okay. Sorry, Councilmember Lee.
In reading the language, it says principal and permanent meeting place. Is that interpreted as a business location? Or if let's say the chamber came forward and said every second month we're going to meet at X business, so would that be considered a permanent meeting place?
Well, that is why is your interpretation. Yeah, I think that many.
We do have the Five Cities Fire Authority that is in the process of putting together a project where all three communities, Oceano, Rio Grande, and Grover, will all fall under the same requirements and so forth. As long as we're making those changes, we could make this change without any problem at all. It adds somebody spending an extra 10 minutes on it. I just don't see wasting any time on it.
Okay.
Something we ought to do and do quickly.
Okay, well, first we have to open it to public comment before we do anything. So is there anyone from the public who'd like to come forward? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council. And Councilmember Nichols, did you want to make a motion on that then? Or is it a motion you need? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I will move that we direct staff to review the Municipal Code, Chapter 12, Section. Is it 3993 or 3994?
With regard to interpretation, basically, the staff is at this point in time looking for interpretation of the existing code. So 3993 is the one that is basically the names that the chamber, and that would be basically the interpretation we would be looking for, whether or not in name that organization. Right. And
how about if I just direct staff to make the necessary changes? Sections are appropriately.
What we're looking for at this point in time, in a one motion, is not to amend the code, but whether or not the council, at this point in time, reads the code as authorizing the city staff to issue a permit as a matter of right to Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce, because that issue is going
to
come up in April.
And then you can
direct staff with regard to any future changes. But the motion that's of pertinence here tonight is the one letting us know whether or not that we are authorized to release a permit as a matter of right to the Arroyo Grande Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. Yes, I understand. I didn't realize it was coming up. I thought we'd have the changes in place before this came up. But I guess we won't.
There's so anyway, not enough time.
Yes, I will go along with staff recommendation on alternative number one, that we direct staff to review the municipal code.
The ordinance doesn't say that they have to have their business in Grover Beach. It's just have a permanent meeting
location. And they do not.
Well, except for the fact, and there are times when a offshoot of the chamber probably meets here on a permanent basis or on a regular basis. So that could be I would consider that to meet the intent of that code, but
I would consider it to be fluffy.
Yeah, and again, the two steps in this process, and maybe that'll assist us a little bit. In part of your interpretation, part of the motion, and the second that was made by implicit in that motion, would be a interpretation that they meet that requirement at this point in time. Again, you're interpreting the code. You have the ability to do so. And with the understanding that direction to staff would follow to institute some code changes. Now, those code changes may simply mean, with the exception of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce, any other applicant or holder of the permit shall, et cetera. So you have the ability, if you wish to, and again, we're not looking for that right now. This will come to you in the future. You have the ability to exempt Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce from that requirement and not have to be fuzzy about the legal issues. You have the ability to soften up the language of the code to say, at least 50% of their meetings are in the city boundaries. The caution of that would be you have many organizations that are applying for this permit that are not the Officers Association or the chamber. And it becomes difficult for staff to enforce or to verify. We've had instances where a bank was named as an address of a bank was named as a principal place of meeting for some nonprofit organization who probably had a board member that worked at that bank, and maybe once a year they met there. That is the door that you would be opening. And again, my recommendation would be that you give us direction on your interpretation, take that as step one. And yes, if your interpretation of the motion is that they get a permit in April, that implicit in that is your reading of the code and saying they meet here
with some changes, and so that if it's not done by 2014, we've got to make that decision again.
Sure.
And I would recommend against that with all due respect. And a interpretation is an interpretation of this council, and it remains in place until the code changes.
And I guess which is why I was trying to limit it to this, because we do know that the code is going to be changed. We just aren't sure if it's going to be before the 2014 decision.
Well, we don't know until it happens that the code is going to change, and whether or not the items are moved forward, and what timing is going to be done to that, and what the decisions are going to be made, whether these codes are going to changes are or aren't going to be approved.
So we still have a motion, and it looks like we're not going to amend the motion. Is that right?
No, based on council's recommendation.
Right. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Yep.
So just for one last clarification. So the clarification is that for per 3993, the Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce becomes the Aurora Grande and Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce for the purposes of issuing that one permit. The first right of refusal.
The entity now known as Aurora Grande and Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce is the same entity for the purposes of the permit as the Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce in the code.
Okay. And is this a voice vote? Okay, so
that'd be fine.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No, none opposed. So motion carries unanimously, and
we will
move to thank you. Move on to, let's see, item number six, which actually has been, it's going to be taken up. Yeah, we're done. Yeah, six and seven are pulled. So that means that we go, I believe, to committee reports. And
what about item seven?
Number seven. That's goals. We're not doing that one. Okay. That's been pulled. Yeah. So, yep. So we're going to council committee reports. And Jeff Lee, have you got anything to report this evening?
I did have one committee meeting, and that was for the Visitors and Conference Bureau, which has now been renamed to Visit San Luis Obispo County.
Good.
So there's a name shift there. It's been set for the last weekend in September. So there will be, if it hasn't already been received, a request by the Visit San Luis Obispo County organization to elicit our participation and our support of that event once again. And then the last thing, I brought up the fact that our Lodge and Convention Center was going forward in March and then got continued to April, and requested letters of support from any members of that group be sent to the city for inclusion in our presentation materials.
Great. Thank you. All right. And then Councilmember Nichols.
I have no reports this time. We have not had a SCAT meeting, and we have reported on the last fire service meeting, last meeting.
Thank you. And I have two. The Air Pollution Control District is meeting later this month. Economic Vitality Corporation met last week, and they are actually doing, they're including Grover Beach in one of their economic studies. They've been working with the County of San Luis to have economic implications addressed whenever they do any kind of make any kind of planning decisions. So part of that was to do economic studies of, I believe, three different projects, and our hotel and conference center is one of them, which will save us all kinds of money because we'll have a report ready, repaired, and we won't have had to get a consultant out to do it. So that's good news. And I'm looking forward to having that. And then the South Slo County Sanitation District, John Wallace retired last week, and we have appointed Paul Karp, who worked there many, many years ago in the early 80s and then worked for the city of Arroyo Grande. We've appointed him temporarily and then went down to Santa Maria and is now retired but is still doing some consulting. He's going to be there for a 3 to 4 month period, and he's brought in a couple of wastewater experts on his team. So we'll be making, I believe, a lot of changes and recommendations, and I'm very confident that the folks we've got in place now will be good. We'll bring us a lot of positive energy and information. And after that, one other item. On Wednesday at 1:30, Zone 3 Advisory Committee is meeting, and Council Member Bright doesn't sound as though she's going to be up for that on Wednesday, and she is the alternate. 1:30.
I probably could make that.
If you can't, maybe you could let City Clerk know, and we'll see if we can find some other way to address it.
I will.
Okay. Thanks for that.
I'll check it out when I get home.
Okay. Yeah.
I was
going to
say, if Mr. Nichols can't make it, I think I know where they might keep the minutes of those meetings.
Right. So. We'll address that. We'll cross that bridge if we come to it. And City Council Member items, are there any other City Council Member items? No? Okay. And Council Communications, any Council Communications?
Just a quick note that on, was it February 23rd, the skate park had their cleanup day, and there was probably, I was there for about 4 hours, and there was probably a good 20 to 25 people there doing various updates and upkeeps to the skate park, and from the press that was received over the weekend, it sounds like they had a very nice soft opening.
Good.
Of that, and they're still looking forward to their grand reopening on March 23rd, I believe it is.
So. Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit of TV coverage on that.
Yeah,
that's good
very
news.
Good. Yeah.
Good, that's great. City manager reports and comments.
The only comment I have is Councilmember Lee asked me about any status update on North Oak Park or the roadway there, and I was unable to get any status today. I didn't have time to do that, but I will get that information and pass it on to all of you when I get it.
Thank you. City Attorney, any report or comments? Okay. So we are going to move now. We're going to recess into closed session. Did you want to tell us what that will
Certainly.
Be?
Two items. The City Council intends to meet in closed session on an item regarding labor negotiations for all represented and unrepresented groups, and also on one item, potential litigation under 54956.9C.
Thank you. So we will recess into our closed session, and we'll report back when we're finished.